Join the conversation that's shaping Bloemfontein's narrative. Homies Pod Hub is your go-to spot for real conversations and fresh perspectives. Join us weekly for new topic and guests. Please follow us so we can grow the community. Today, we're joined by Mr. Molefe Ntseki, a renowned football coach and manager who has made a significant impact in the Free State province. Welcome, coach. Welcome to the show.
Good day, Sipo, and thanks for having me in your show. I hope it's going to be very interesting, very informative, very educative for everybody who listens to your show.
No, thank you very much for that, coach. Coach, you know, firstly, I think I need to say thank you that you've taken time to be here because, I mean, you have a very busy schedule. Without wasting any of your time, coach, I'd like to dive into finding out more about Coach Molefe Ntseki. So, coach, let's start from the beginning. You were born in Botshabelo, Free State Province. What was your childhood like and how did it shape you into the person that you are today?
Thanks once again, Sipo, for having me. Molefe Ntseki is a 55-year-old father of three, married to Martha Ntseki. I'm actually a farm boy because I was born on a farm in the district of Excelsior in the Free State Province. I attended school at the farm school called Majomasweu until my standard 4, and then I moved from Majomasweu to Botshabelo, where I started my standard 5 in 1984 at a primary school called Totisam Primary School. And then normally that's what happens with us boys that will be playing football in the streets of Botshabelo, and then also playing football at school. And it's always football and athletics. So in the township, we used to have football teams in Botshabelo. We'll be playing our football in the open fields and all of that. And I think from there, I moved to a high school in 1985. That's when I did my standard 6 at Rea Moetsi Secondary School. That was based in Section E in Botshabelo. Then I did my standard 6, standard 7. And when I passed to standard 8, I left Rea Moetsi. Then I went to Ntemoseng High School. So it is at Ntemoseng High School where I played school's football in the first team. And then from there, obviously from standard 8, standard 9, then I completed my matric in 1989. And after completing my matric in 1989, I went to study as a teacher at SIA College of Education, 1990. And when I got to SIA, obviously, I studied school sports, referred to then as physical education, and I also did guidance, which was referred to as school counseling. I did my first year, my second year, and my third year, and then I qualified as a teacher end of 1992. Then I started teaching 1993. Before going into teaching, school sports involves a lot of sports coaching. So we were doing a lot of sports coaching, be it netball, be it football, be it cricket, be it rugby. So all the sporting codes, you were taught how to coach and manage all the sporting codes when you get to the teaching environment. So that's how the love for coaching started when I was at Tia College doing my secondary teacher's diploma.
That's quite a journey, coach, I must say. So a person would think that, you were, born and you thought, this is the direction I want to take from maybe, let's say, grade 7 or so, where I want to just follow a route in soccer. But we tend to forget that during those times, it was tough to make any kind of decision to go into any kind of profession or field because of the limitations. But now, as a person, how did those limitations shape you? Because it's not like, as I said, you just walked into it. There was obviously certain factors that kept you from doing what you're doing today, but you felt, let me jump over and try to be as prosperous as possible?
Yeah, I think one should also make mention of what led to me going to Tshiya College of Education. I had a principal then, Mr. Maibi, who happened to be a lecturer at Tshiya College. So when I got my results, we did not have money for me from home, from my family, to go to any university or to go any college. So my principal then, Mr. Maibi, took out his money to have me registered at Tshiya College. So that's how I ended up at Tshiya College. Mm. So like you said, it was very tough and very difficult those days, because you'll find in a household there's only one person working. And when that happens, it means it is going to be difficult for anybody to go into a university or to go into a college. But I must always say this, my appreciation of what the late Mr. Maibi, may his soul rest in peace, what he did for me and what he did for my family. I am where I am today because of the role he played in 1990 of paying for my registration fee at Tshiya College. So after registering with Tshiya College, I played for Tshiya first team as a center back, left center back. And during that time, it was the time of Fristie Stars. So Fristie Stars was the team in the Premier Soccer League. So they used to train at Tshiya College grounds. So at Tshiya at that time, we had Steve Compeller. So I used to play alongside Steve Compeller in defense for Tshiya College. We went on to win the SAXA tournament in 1990. That was my first year. So me growing from being just a college football player, qualifying and getting my diploma as a teacher, that's when I went to Lebogang High School in Thabong Velko. And when I got to Lebogang, as fresh as I was from the college life, I became the school's football coach. So I took over as a coach at Lebogang. And also that time, 1993-1994, I was still active because I was still playing. And that's when I joined Mighty Greens. It's a team that was playing in the first division. In fact, we were playing in the Vodacom League, and then we got promoted to the first division in 1994. So during that period, as a player for Mighty Greens and also as a coach at Lebogang and high school, I went back to school. Then I went to Vista University. That's where I studied psychology, majoring in psychology and in Sesotho. That time, I'm still a teacher at Lebogang High. Then 1994, I went to Vista University. In 1996, I graduated with my degree in psychology and Sesotho. And that's when, end of 1996, I joined Welcome Unisaids. It was a mine team based in St. Helena. So that's when I met the likes of Simon Nomga. I started playing with Simon Nomga. By the way, Simon Nomga was my player at Lebogang at that time. So Benny Rakometsi, Sabata Kwebu, Pito Mokwena, these are the guys that we started playing together at Unisaints. I'm playing for Unisaints. I'm still a teacher. I'm still a coach at Lebogang. So basically, that's how my life unfolded during that time as a teacher at Lebogang. And then I played up until 1998. 1998, during our preseason, whilst I was with Unisaints, I got a very bad knee injury that ended my career as a footballer. And then I went for an operation, and then I stopped playing, obviously, because the injury was so bad that I could not continue playing. That's when I started coaching formally, I would say, if one has to put it that way. There was a team that was owned by the late Vax Mahekiso and the late Ndate Dick Nkuna. They were very good to me because the late Ndate Nkuna, may his soul rest in peace, was part of Unity Saints when we were playing in the first division. So when I got injured, he teamed up with the late Vax Mahekiso to have Welcome Stars. So that's how I started coaching formally with Welcome Stars in 1998.
You sound like, you know, most of these, let me call them groundbreaking strides, all happened in the Free State. So the Free State is really, it's your home, but you've thoroughly established yourself in the Free State before you actually went on into the greater South Africa.
Yeah, Free State has been good to me. I remember I was born and bred in the Free State. And I think every opportunity, any youngster or any footballer will always start at home. Mm. And this is where everything started. And then Welcome Stars playing in the Vodacom League 1998, 1999, 2000. We got promoted to play in the first division, which was a very big achievement for me as a coach that time. So me coaching Welcome Stars and getting promoted to the first division, I think it's elevated my coaching profession, if one has to put it that way, because I ended up playing against teams coming from other provinces that were competing in the first division. So I was with Welcome Stars for 3 years, and 2002, that's when I resigned as a teacher after 10 years of giving service to the Department of Education. Then I started Harmony Sports Academy. Harmony Sports Academy, it's an academy that is still in existence. It operates from Virginia. So we did the recruitment in 2002, December 2002. That's when I resigned as a teacher. And then we opened doors of Harmony Sports Academy in 2003. So we started with only 16 players who were born 1987 and 1988. So we started with 16 players. So the following year, we got another 16 boys born 1989, 1990. So it has been like that over years. And during that period, as Harmony Soccer School coach, we produced a number of national team players. I think that's what also helped me to make a name for myself as a coach, because when you send players, under 17 players, to the national team, when you send under 20 players to the national team, people tend to ask, who is this person?
Mm.
So that's how you leave your mark in terms of you growing as a football coach. So the likes of Thabang Matuka, they were invited for under 17. The likes of Tumelo Lesapo, Kiamogetse Wolf, Kamohelo Mabuya. So we produced a number of boys that ended up playing for the national team. So I was at Harmony Sports Academy for 5 years, from 2003 until 2007. During that period, I think we won all schools competitions that we participated in. But the biggest success story of Harmony Sports Academy was for the academy to win the Bay Hill. You know, Bay Hill is a big tournament that is hosted by Bay Hill Football Club in Cape Town. So in that tournament, I was voted manager of the tournament, and Koloko Mokgethi was player of the tournament. So we had a number of players that were part of the tournament over that period of time. Kemet Erasmus, Kamuelo Mokotjo, coming from SuperSport. So Bay Hill, it's one of the biggest tournaments that you can ask for in the country.
You know, Coach, I don't want you to sell yourself short, and I feel like I need to let people know exactly what the Bay Hill Football Tournament is all about. So this is the biggest and most prestigious under-19 football tournament in Africa. I mean, the Bay Hill Premier Cup is Africa's oldest, most prestigious and successful under-19 football tournament. It's something that is really major. And there's an article that I happened to read where it wrote that the tournament offers youth from various disadvantaged and advantaged backgrounds an equal and fair platform to compete. The high-performance atmosphere attracts sports scouts from across South Africa and abroad, with as many as 500 aspiring football players selected to play at senior level. The tournament allows participation of 32 teams, then 10 spots are normally secured for visiting teams from outside the Western Cape and abroad. Popular teams like Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, Morocco Swallows, Wits, Silver Stars, Super Sports United, and Mamelodi Sundowns, Bloemfontein Celtics, Highlands Park, and other big names from all provinces have participated in the tournament over the years. The tournament has also attracted teams from outside the borders of South Africa, namely Namibia, Nigeria, England, New Zealand, and Germany. And I mean, coach, to have won such a prestigious competition with an academy that you put together is nothing short of amazing. It's really inspiring, truly a proud moment for you. However, such an accomplishment is often expected to be followed up with more greatness. So where to from there?
Then in 2007, when I was still with Harmony Sports Academy, we got more of a football scholarship through SAFA to go and study for international coaching certificate with the German Football Federation, DFB. We went to Germany. It was the four of us, myself, Mli Finseki, Pizzo Musimane, Anamonati, and Solili Vengo. So when I came back from Germany, I felt I've done my part as a development coach. That's when I left Harmony Sports Academy and I went to African Warriors. African Warriors was the team that was playing in the first division, and that's where I met Coach Morena Ramrebudi. So we worked together at African Warriors, myself and Coach Morena Ramrebudi, for two seasons. In 2009, that's when I left African Warriors. Then I joined Coach Ramele Tswaka as an assistant of the under-20 team that was to play in the under-20 World Cup in Egypt. So that team had Andile Jali, Rama Fempasele, Kemiti Rasmus, Tyson Hlatshwayo, Kamohelo Mokotjo, Darren Keat. So those were the players that were part of the team that played in the under-20 World Cup. So I was with Coach Rame for 2009 with the under-20 preparation and going into the World Cup. So when I came back from the World Cup with Coach Rame in 2009, I then joined Bloemfontein Celtic as an assistant coach to Coach Clinton Lasse. So I was with Celtic for two seasons as an assistant coach. And after 2 years, that's when I approached the management of Bloemfontein Celtic that I would love to start a development structure for the club. The reason being players were getting expensive and there was no one helping in the development of players, of younger players in and around Bloemfontein. So I felt there is a need for me to go back to coaching younger players and developing younger players. So it was during that time where I managed to recruit the likes of Thapelo Morena, who's currently playing for Sundowns, the likes of Tshepo Rekgotso, now with Marumo Gallants, Wade Joste, who's now with AmaZulu. So these were the players that were recruited in the first year. And the second year, 2013, we were playing in the Barocom League. Then 2014, I applied for an under-17 head coach, national team head coach. So I went for interviews and all of that. Fortunately, the job was given to me. And then I had to play the AFCON qualifiers. We played against Egypt, home and away. We played against Tanzania, home and away. And then we ended up qualifying for the AFCON. Going into the AFCON, we had players like Katlego Mohammed, Mondli Mpoto, Kanyisa Mayo. So these are some of the players that are currently doing very well in the Premier League, and some of them are also playing for Bafana Bafana. Riff Rosler was also part of that team that went on to play in the AFCON, and then we qualified from the AFCON. We went to the World Cup in 2015 in Chile. So the boys were given an exposure that is needed in your career as a younger player. So Keanu Cupido was the captain of the team. He's now with Sundowns. He moved from Cape Town City to Sundowns. So when I came back from Chile in 2015, then I continued as under-17 coach. Then we played too many COSAFA tournaments in Mauritius. And that's when we also identified a number of players. The late Luc Fleers was part of that team. Luc Leroux is now playing overseas. Spepulos Toll is now playing overseas. So these are the players that we identified when we were coaching the under-17 team. Then I was with the under-17s. I went to the World Cup with the under-17s. I went to the World Cup with the under-20s with Coach Thabo as the head coach, as a technical advisor in South Korea. I was part of Coach Owen De Gama in 2016 when we qualified for the Olympics in Rio. I was part of Coach Desiree Ellis when we qualified for the WAFCON in Cameroon in 2016. And then I became an assistant coach with the senior national team, Bafana Bafana. I worked with Coach Sheikh Mashaba. I worked with Coach Owen De Gama. And then the last one I worked with was Coach Stuart Baxter. We went to the AFCON in 2018, and then we got position 8. Coming back from the AFCON, that's when Coach Stuart Baxter felt that he has done his part. Now it's time for him to leave.
Mm-hmm. And before we actually get more into that, Coach, you happened to mention you approached Bloemfontein Celtics with an approach of having a development structure for Bloemfontein Celtics. What is the potential like, and what is the reception, let's say, that you get from potential professional or wanting to be professional players in Bloemfontein? Is there an influx of young kids who are taking part in soccer? Because as you know, in the country currently, you know, I think the one sport that is getting a lot of coverage and that is, you know, being looked at as probably the most prominent sport in the country is rugby. So are you finding it difficult to still continue to motivate kids to take part in soccer and hopefully growing in soccer?
Yeah, I think the success story that I had when I was with Harmony, because when I was with Harmony, recruitment was done within the Free State only. Mm. So you have players that came from the Free State, ended up playing in the Premier League. You have players that came from Harmony Sports Academy that are all Free Staters that ended up playing in the national teams. So you have that background because people happen to know now that Molefe Ntseki, Harmony Sports Academy, these are the players that he has produced over time. So in terms of the facilities in the Free State, we don't have much and the choices are not so many. Like if you want to play this sports, you can go and play that sport with ease. So our background has always been, you start playing football in your neighborhood, you start playing football in your streets. Yeah. So every kid who is playing football at school, he would love to play football for a professional team like Bloemfontein Celtic. So when you start doing your scouting, when you start doing your selection, everybody is more interested in becoming part of this project running a development structure for Bloemfontein Celtic. So the talent was very huge. It was big numbers that were coming whenever you were to do trials. But the most difficult part is for you to make them understand that when you are doing assessment of their capabilities or of their abilities, it is not a trial. Mm. Because when you trial, you end up failing. I used to say to them, you did not fail Bloemfontein Celtic trials. You just did not have some attributes that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For this specific assessment that you were doing. It is not because you are not a good player or you'll never make a good player. So that was also very important in terms of players coming for assessment. They are very fragile because all of them, they feel they've got the qualities to make it at that level. So when you start saying you failed the trials, it becomes something very negative. So I tried to play around and say, it's an assessment. And whatever we might be assessing you on, you might not have some of the things, some of the attributes that you're looking for. It doesn't mean you're going to have such a problem forever. The next assessment, you might have what you're looking for. So I think it was a very interesting one. And most kids came for assessment because they all want to play for a professional side. And Celtic has always been this popular team in the Free State to say everybody wants to play for Bloemfontein Celtic because the Demolimela made it popular with the type of players that he brought to Celtic, the type of football that Celtic was playing, the likes of Ace Gula, the likes of Wayanteu. So everybody could associate himself with Bloemfontein Celtic.
No, the one thing, rather Coach Nzegi, the one thing, now personally, I'm more of a rugby guy because of the, you know, the way I'm built. And I played soccer back in my primary school days and I played number four as defense. And for me, the best thing I could do, I think the first match, if I remember correctly, it was raining. And in that match, I was like, the best thing I can make sure of here is the ball doesn't go past me. It's either I get the ball or I get the player. And this is something that as I grew up, I found that there's a lot of soccer players that actually, you know, use almost the same understanding. There's a specific player that comes to mind now, Andre Rabutla. It was Andre Rabutla.
Yeah.
That was one player who, honestly, it's either, and it was Joseph Life. His name was Joseph Life, his nickname. It's either he got you or he got the ball, but you were not passing. And with that notion, I feel like I can also attest it to how you've wanted to do things. I'm just listening to how you're speaking about, you know, the youth development in the Free State. You don't want kids, when you have these trials, you don't want them to have an understanding of I failed, because it might have this failure mentality for life. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing in the, if I don't get, you know, the player, but at least you get the person. And it's important to build. Now, considering that Bloemfontein Celtics is no more, what was now you as a person, your sentiment once you got that, you know, information that there's no longer going to be a Bloemfontein Celtics?
I think it's a very bad setback, if one has to put it that way, to football as a whole. Not only for Bloemfontein, not only for Free State. Because we used to have Free State Stars and Bloemfontein Celtic. And they used to play against each other, and these were Free State derbies. Mm-hmm. But we are no longer seeing that happening. And during that time, we used to produce a lot of good Free State players because it was just a stone throw from home to go and play for Celtic or to go and play for Free State Stars. So in Free State Stars being sold out of the province, in Celtic being sold out of the province, I think it's a very big loss to the talent that we have in the Free State, to the supporters, to the business sectors in the Free State. So this loss that I'm talking about, it hits one very deep, because now you have got children that cannot look up to anybody, to any club that is in the professional ranks coming from the Free State. So I think It's very important for us to look into it, and whoever that can afford to bring back professional football in the Free State, whether Free State Stars, whether Bloemfontein Celtic, whether Welcome Stars or any other team that can help us to bring professional football to the Free State, I think that will be good for the Free Staters. That will be good for football in our province. That will be good for business in our province, because whenever Celtic is playing, whenever Free State Stars used to play, you'll have people, vendors going to sell whatever that they'll be selling at the stadium. So many people will get employed for the day. And after the game, you're taking something home and all of that. But that is not happening. Mm. So it is really, really bad for football in terms of what is happening currently in the province.
And in line with that, Coach, I actually remember Makufe Cup. Makufe Cup was a big thing. Because obviously we'd have the likes of Kaizer Chiefs coming to play. So the attraction from other provinces was massive. I mean, the time when Makufe is happening in Bloemfontein, whatever year, it used to be, you know, you'd look at Bloemfontein and you'd think, am I actually in Bloem? Because it was congested. You know, business was booming in that, you know, accommodations were full. I'm talking about guest houses, hotels. And at the same time, you had celebrities coming into Bloemfontein, obviously people who you don't see on a day-to-day basis. You'd see Bentleys driving around, which you don't see every now and then. So when you speak about business sense and how soccer, specifically Bloemfontein Celtics, was contributing, it wasn't a matter of just making positive change to kids. It was actually very good for the economy, and you would want for something like that to come up again, you know, in Bloemfontein. I mean, as a city where there's just so much potential, you would want it to be aligned with something that, you know, is going to go out there and represent Batuba Bloemfontein. Now, Coach, let's jump in back to you having this impressive coaching career and managing teams like, you know, Kaizer Chiefs. What have been some of your most notable achievements, and how do you stay motivated and being focused?
I think Stuart Baxter approaching Safa and saying he just wants to leave, he wants to spend some time with his family in Switzerland. He also gave me an opportunity of being considered for Bafana Bafana head coach position. So that's how it came about. Because when we need to understand that when you work with somebody, you create a relationship. You are giving your best expertise in making whatever project to succeed. And I think that's how Stuart Baxter felt about me, to say, I think he's ready now to be the head coach of Bafana Bafana. And thanks to SAFA Technical Committee, that was considered, and then I was appointed as Bafana Bafana a head coach. I think it was a position that came with big responsibilities, and a position that tested one's personality very much so, because now you are no longer going to concentrate on yourself. Now you have to concentrate on managing other people. And now you are going to manage the top talent that we have in the country. You are not just going to be a coach of an ordinary footballer like what I used to do with the junior teams and all of that. But now you are to manage the best talent that you have in the country. And normally, when you are talking of the best talent you have in the country, that comes with different personalities. That comes with different egos. Because normally, when somebody sees himself through the mirror that I am this person, he always develops a certain type of behavior that you have to manage whenever they come to camp. Because you are managing players that come from different backgrounds. Some of them are playing overseas. Some of them are earning in terms of the currencies that, let's say, somebody's from UK is getting his pounds. Somebody's from elsewhere is getting his euros. Somebody's from America is getting his USD. So now this are individuals that comes into camp, and them coming into camp, you must make them one. They must see each other as equals. They must see each other as colleagues and people that are patriotic and people that are in camp to represent their country. It's not a question of what type of shoes are you wearing or what type of a cap are you wearing. What is important is we are all in camp, and us being in camp, we are here to represent our country. We have shown that we are patriotic. We are ambassadors of our country. So that was the most difficult part. You have to manage this talent that you are bringing into camp. Before you could even start looking into the technical, tactical elements of the game. But the most important thing, this must be a national team. and having a national team of individuals coming from different backgrounds. You know, the demographics in this country, some are Zulu speaking, some are Xhosa speaking, some are Sotho speaking, some are African speaking, and their backgrounds will always be different. But there is only one common object that brings everybody together. It's football. So I think that's how I started with Bafana Bafana. And then we played our first friendly match against Mali in the Eastern Cape. We won that game by 2-1. And it gave one some level of confidence to say at least it's a good start. The pressure that comes with at times we have South Africans that they become very negative. They become so negative that you end up not even knowing who you are, because now you don't know who to please and who to make happy. So I think it was a good start. And then we went on to play the qualifiers, and then in the last two games that we played against Ghana and Sudan, we needed only 1 point. Unfortunately, we lost the last game against Sudan. That's how we failed to qualify for the AFCON, and that's how I left SAFA as Bafana Bafana head coach. During that period, during that transition of me leaving Bafana Bafana, I was approached by Kaizer Chiefs to say, please come and join us as head of technical and development. Your experience, your background will always be of help coming into an environment of Kaizer Chiefs.
I think one needs to maybe understand, and I hear you sounding very, you know, like it's a normal thing. I mean, I did mention before, Kaizer Chiefs is one of the, if not the, arguably the biggest club in this country, soccer club in this country. So for you to get a call from Kaizer Chiefs, how was that feeling? Because it's not, you know, you can have so much impact in whatever field, but once you start getting, you know, that kind of recognition, there obviously is some kind of, you know, pat on the back that you give yourself to say, you know, Kaizer Chief called me. So how was that feeling for you? Just before we get into, you know, the logistics of it, but you getting that call and seeing, okay, you know, this is coming from this person. Maybe you had the number on your phone, but now to hear the conversation, after you hear the conversation and you say bye and you drop, what is the feeling? What was that feeling like?
I think for any individual, it's a feeling of being excited, but immediately you get excited, reality creeps in to say, I'll be part of Kaizer Chiefs. Why was I approached by Kaizer Chiefs? What is that I must bring to Kaizer Chiefs? And how am I going to make it work? So already you're putting yourself under pressure to say, it means I have to deliver. Whatever that they were telling me, why they're bringing in, I should go out there and do more. I should double my efforts. And whenever I become part of that family, I should feel being part of the family. Everybody, the supporters or the club bosses, they need to understand that they brought quality into the club. And this quality is going to help grow the club, because that is the most important thing. Whenever you get employed, your employers are expecting you to add into what they have already. So you don't just get excited, because in you getting excited, you end up forgetting why you were brought to the club. So yes, I got excited. I called my wife, and you know, you play low, because at times when you share these things with families, they also get more excited than you are. And at times they don't even understand the pressure that comes with. So I think it was well managed. Me going to Chiefs as head of technical and development. And then, yes, I must say that was the biggest career move. Apart from being the national team coach, it was the biggest career move to be approached by a team of Kaizer Chiefs caliber. We all know that Kaizer Chiefs is one of the best teams in Africa. And it is worldwide recognized to say, when you are from South Africa, do you know a team called Kaizer Chiefs? So that's how it is. But at the end of the day, you end up saying, those who came before me, they left a mark. So if I come in, what mark am I going to leave when I have to leave Kaizer Chiefs?
Coach, you know, from your all of your answers, I feel like what you studied, you've implemented into your career. You mentioned that you studied psychology and you have a degree. I think you said psychology in Sesotho. You've been qualified in that. Getting into coaching, it's a very important thing that you've done to blend in the two, because even in your answer in saying that you got excited, but immediately, you know, the pressure, because that's the reality. We see the Coach Molefenzeki is going to be coaching Kaizer Chiefs, and you're thinking, great, you know, someone from the Free State, you know, we're happy, but we are not living in those big shoes that you have to fill. And I must say, it's quite an impressive thing for you to be able to put the two into an area or an understanding that you can control, because at the end of the day, you are in control of that. Coach, there's something I just wanted to find out. Before we get to you being a role model and considered a role model outside, inside, you're a father, you're a husband, you being busy with all of these crazy schedules, with all of these different teams that you've been part of, whether technical, well, coaching is technical, but just in the broader element of what you've done in soccer, how do you manage being able to raise the kids, be present for certain occasions, and still be able to adhere to your responsibilities as a coach?
It's a difficult one. I think she made a very difficult choice of getting married to me, because I remember my uncle was talking to her and he said, you need to be very much aware of what you have got yourself into, because your husband is a football person. And it means he will always not be at home. At times, you'll have to look after the family by yourself. So when you listen to the elderly people talking during that ceremony, when you get married, they always be saying, a woman is the one that keeps the family together. So as the husband or the father, you are the head, but the neck is the lady side of it. So I think I was fortunate, if one has to put it that way, to have a girlfriend who ended up becoming a wife, who ended up becoming a mother to our children, the woman I have in my life, because it was and it is still very difficult. You have a situation where you are without your husband for 2 to 3 months. I remember when we went for Under-17 World Cup in Chile, we left a month earlier because we had to prepare the team in Johannesburg. We have to prepare the team in Brazil before we went to Chile. So that time, it means she was all by herself. And that time she had 3 boys. The other one was 2 years old. The last born was 2 years old at that time. And when I left for the Under-17, he was 1 year old. When I came back in 2023, he's now 12 years old. So it means a period of 10 years in between, he was without his father. So his father will come in the evening, sees him in the morning, takes him to school. A day later, his father has to go. So I must also appreciate the type of kids we have, because they are also very understanding. I don't know how, but we got it right of them being so understanding to say, my father will be away from home for this specific reason. And whenever you become a Bafana Bafana coach, always that comes with negativity. And people will start saying a lot of things, even to your family members and all of that. And then it was worse when you are now a head coach of Kaizer Chiefs, because everybody's watching Kaizer Chiefs. Everybody wants to know what is happening with your father and all of that. But I must say, I think God gave them the strength to withstand all of what was happening. But at the same time, I think the personality, when I look into myself, it also helped, because I'm not too much out there. I'm a very private person. Whenever I have time, I will spend time with myself and with my family. And that also helps, because when you are always out there, the little time you have to spend with your family, you end up spending it elsewhere. So I think that also helped for the type of a person I am, and the type of a wife I have, and also the understanding of which I never had classes on how to conduct themselves. But I think they've been very good to deal with the situation, the highs and lows of my career. So life goes on.
So with that, coach, still, you know, speaking about the family, you mentioned you have three boys, and I was fortunate enough to meet one of them, who goes to a school which is a rival school to my former school. So, coach, now, having boys and potentially, I met one of your sons, and, you know, them potentially going into being professional soccer players, do you feel you're managing as a parent and managing as a coach somehow maybe clash, or because it's your son and you've seen numerous soccer players, you know, getting into this development part of life, and how you implement maybe your strategy? Are you implementing it the same way, or how is it that you're managing that?
I think that me being a former school teacher and having worked at a number of junior teams at Harmony Sports Academy and also at Under 17 national team, it made me understand that all youngsters within that age group of 12 to 18 years, they always see football as a career. They don't normally look into what ifs. If it doesn't work out, what will be there for me? If I don't have the talent that will take me to a level that I see on TV, then what will happen to me as an individual? So I think that also helped me to understand that age group, in terms of working with that age group. And also, I've worked with a number of players, and I've seen how parents come out to put too much pressure on these youngsters, because they also have this thing of wanting to live their lives through their sons. And I think that really helped me to say, this is wrong. This is not how it's supposed to be done. And me being a father now, I am not going to do that to my kids. The three of them, the elder brother has always been into football. Even when he was 12, he came to show me a formation of some kind of how his team wants to play. I think it was on the paper, he had something like 14 players. And the 14 players, he had a formation. Just unfortunate that I do not keep that that paper, because for me, that was to be very important when he's this old, to show him, to say, look, when you were 11, 12, you came up with this. What is happening here? So that was him liking the game from a very young age. And the second born was always into, or is always into music. He loves music. He's playing drums at school. The last one, he's a rugby man. He just came back from a rugby tournament, under 13 rugby tournament. So in me saying all of this, I do not put anybody under pressure, because I fully understand what is right and what is wrong when it comes to choices that kids always make in life. So I just presented before them a platform to say, this is what I like, this is what I think I'm good at. If you are good in music, I will help you to go for music classes. If you are good in rugby, I will accompany you to rugby matches. And then if you think you can do well in football, I will support you in football. And when I have time, I'll go out and play with them. Whether it's in the backyard or maybe in the park, I'll just play with them just for them to enjoy being around me or having me around. So I think the one who have chosen football, he's very much focused. He likes the sport. But what makes me more happier about him is that he wants to balance his education and football. So he knows that he has to do well in his matric for him to get university entrance.
Mm-hmm. And coach, you know, understanding that, you know, you have just sons. This is the, you know, Nteki name is going to go on for quite a while. Do you feel your son maybe has any pressures that he gets maybe from being in the soccer scope of things, carrying the surname? There's a certain expectation. I'm talking even from school level. Are those maybe some conversations that you guys possibly have?
Yeah, I remember some time ago, you'll always be coming back home and being very negative about himself to say, today I could not pass, today I could not control the ball. Today, I did not have a very good session. So he used to come home with all the negative whatever of what happened at training. And when he was doing that, I could tell that this is pressure. Because for him, he is thinking of being the best because the father is. So I said to him, you know, in life, what comes first is anything positive about yourself. So even when you look at yourself through the mirror, you must see a very handsome boy. And because when you walk away from that mirror, you'll have the confidence and you'll have a very high self-esteem. But if ever you look at the mirror and start saying, I've got big nose, I've got big ears, I've got a big head, then it means you'll walk away having all negative about the self. So whenever you go for training, be positive. Always count on the good things because you can always improve and get better on the good things that you did at training. So please, next time when you come home, don't tell me about anything negative about your training session. Please tell me more about anything and everything positive about you as a footballer. How are you improving? How are you enjoying playing football? So I think that has also really helped me a lot because he's more of a positive person in terms of what he wants to do in life. Because he'll be saying, I want to do sports science. I want to do sports science because I want to do well because I need to get so many points for me to get university entrance. So that also helps for one to be very positive about the self. Because even when you talk of Ronaldo, there is one thing that made Ronaldo who he is today. He has always been and he is still very positive about himself.
No, that's probably some of the best advice I could hear from either a coach or a father. I think that is very well said, coach. Coach, now bringing it now to more local. Obviously, you considered as a role model, and being a role model, there's also this expectation that is expected of you. So now, as a respected figure in the Free State Province, how do you feel about, you know, being a role model for young people, and what initiatives are you currently involved in order to possibly give back to the community?
Look, the first thing that I wanted to do was to do a lot of grassroots football, because grassroots football, it's very important to the football communities because now football has got very serious competitors in terms of players not going out to play football. Because now we have got these gadgets that they have everywhere they go, and some of them become very lazy in terms of having those physical activities. So grassroots football is the most important thing. I think I've done a lot of presentations to the schools and to the government just to emphasize more on getting kids active, getting kids active using football. I also had a football company called Play Football. I used to go to schools around here in Bloemfontein, then I will conduct play football classes. It has to do with the ABCs of youth development, which is agility, balance, and coordination. So I used to teach a lot of that using football until I got so involved with national teams and obviously with Premier League teams. So whenever I have time, I'll always try to attend to these matches and then talk to the players. Whether it's a tournament, last week we had a tournament at UOFS, and then I had an opportunity to talk to the players. So I think that is the most important thing for me, to be that role model to the youngsters, because in us being role models, at times we become wrong role models. What is important is this thing of having celebrity coaches. It is also not working for our kids, because they see you as a celebrity. They don't see you as a father figure because of the things that you do. So what is important is for one to be a father figure and also to be there for the kids. What to say, they will listen to it more than they could even listen to what their fathers and mothers are saying in the household. So whatever you say, you must say it in such a way that it will help that kid who heard you saying that to grow and to become a better person.
Wow. Wow. No, thank you very much for that, Coach. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm super inspired. If I was a few years younger, I would want to at least, you know, get into some kind of sport with this kind of attitude that you've gradually implemented in your years, in your growth, in your journey. Coach, just last but not least, in closing, we always try to ensure that whoever's listening and from wherever they're listening from, one, that they understand the potential that Bloemfontein, that the Free State has, that the surrounding towns, your Botshabelos, your Tabantus, your Brandforts, the potential that lies in those small towns. I mean, you are here today, you are born in Botshabelo, and yet you've coached the South African national team. You have graced the world with your presence. A mere guy that comes from Botshabelo is how a person would think, but the achievements, I must say, are quite outstanding. Coach, what advice would you give to young people from the Free State province who aspire to follow in your footsteps?
I think I'll have to say it in Sesotho. I know maybe there will be a way of translating this. Basotho bare mohale a bokwe hai. Kore, you don't get the best accolades from where you were born. It is always out there for the outside world. I would say the Free State has got what I normally refer to as massive talent. Free State has got very strong personalities. You go into football, Free State has had the best footballers. The example will be that one of Steve Compella. Steve Compella was the national team captain that time, 1995, 1994. You talk of Saramelo Tswaka currently. He's the FIFA COSAFA consultant. So it's a very big position that you can always think of. Currently, we have the under-17 national team competing in Morocco to qualify for the World Cup. The coach is a Free Stater from Kwakwa, Vela Khumalo. You have Fikile Mbalula. Fikile Mbalula is the General Secretary of ANC. So a number of us are role models in our own way of doing things. So I think it is not a question of where you come from. It's a question of what do you do right. And in you doing things right, it is also important to look back and give back to the community. So I think nobody was born to be a president, and nobody was born to be a hobo. So there are challenges in life, there are opportunities in life that will help you to become the D person in whatever way. So I think that belief of coming from humble beginnings and staying humble and also keep on working hard, it will always help. But the biggest advantage we have is for us to believe in the Lord, is for us to pray more, is for us to have this law of attraction of believing that whatever I'm doing, it will ultimately work out. Because if we don't, then it means you have got nothing that will be of an inspiration to you to aspire for. So I think to all the Free Staters, whether you are young or old or middle-aged, the sky is no limit. Anything is possible. So keep on working hard, work smart. Because when we grew up, we were told that to live like a king, you must work like a slave, which is very wrong for one to say that to anybody. Work smart. And I think you getting older, you become wiser, and everybody will benefit from your wisdom.
No, thank you very much, Coach Nzegi. We really appreciate you taking time once again to come and speak to us. So thank you for joining us on Reality Slab, Coach Nzegi. Your story is truly inspiring, and we appreciate the insights that you shared with us.
I think it's from us, my family, Nzegi's family, to say thank you for you coming here and spending time with us and knowing more about who we are and where we are going and the things that we have achieved in life. It was very, very much interesting to have this conversation with you. Much appreciated, my brother, and all the best going forward.
100%. Thank you very much, Coach. Have a lovely evening. That's all for this episode of Homies Pod Hub's Reality Slab. A huge thanks to our amazing guests for sharing their story. Thank you to our sponsors, Lindsay's Cafe, serving the best meals and coffee in town, and Unlimited Trends, offering the best whey and fresh fits in town. Follow Homies Pod Hub for more inspiring conversation. Thank you, and catch you in the next episode.